Yes, thank you very much. Did an excellent job there. Should I try again? Okay, we'll try again. Yeah, I'm wondering because when I practiced on Thursday, it was so loud I was kind of worried it'd be too loud. Yeah, they're saying turn me up. I don't know. You're supposed to turn that on. I come up here with it on, and you control everything back there.
It's on, and you got batteries. He's on. It's on the side of the wall. Having some technical difficulties.
I'll tell you, the devil's working hard, isn't he? Yeah, can I hear me here? Testing, yeah. I hear something here. But you guys don't hear me out there, huh? Okay, that's all right. They'll figure it out. I'll turn these things around so then you can hear those. Yeah. Keep working at it? Okay. Yeah, is this one on? Turn them both on so that we can get some squealing going on. Testing. Testing, testing. Something's working there. Although I hate holding these things.
Is it working yet? Still not working there, huh?
Okay. Wow, this will be an extra challenge today. And my remote control ran away.
Yeah, I'd rather use this. Can I use the pulpit mic?
I'll make myself stand still. I'd rather do that than, yeah, there we go. Every day of the week, Monday through Friday, I receive an email entitled Mikey's Funnies. I signed up for Mikey's Funnies over 30 years ago. Do you know how many funnies I have in my email? Yeah, this week on Friday, he wrote this. Says, this weekend, I will be off on Monday. He says, I want to remind you, Armed Forces Day is for those who are still in uniform. Veterans Day is for those who hung up their uniform. Memorial Day is for those who never got out of their uniform. We need to remember those individuals who have fought bravely for us. Now I will share with you the funny that he sent. And this one is in quotation marks because it is not funny. It was raining cats and dogs, and I was late for my physical training. Traffic was backed up at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and was moving way too slowly. I was probably going to be late and was growing more and more impatient. The pace slowed almost to a standstill as I passed Memorial Grove, the site built to honor the soldiers who died in the Gander airplane crash, the worst redeployment accident in the history of the 101st Airborne Division. Because it was close to Memorial Day, a small American flag had been placed on the ground next to each soldier's memorial plaque. My concern at the time, however, was getting. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure you were awake, so. I'm still here at my headset. My concern. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was like on Thursday. My concern at the time, however, was getting past the bottleneck, getting out of the rain, and getting to my physical therapy on time. All of a sudden, infuriatingly, just as the traffic was getting started again, the car in front of me stopped. A soldier, a private, of course, jumped out in the pouring rain and ran over toward toward the grove. I couldn't believe it. This knucklehead was holding up everyone for who knows what kind of prank. Horns were honking. I waited to see the chewing out that I wanted to give him for making me late. He was getting soaked to the skin. His BDUs were plastered to his frame. I watched as he ran up to one of the memorial plaques, picked up the small American flag that had fallen to the ground in the wind and the rain, and set it upright. Then slowly he came to attention, saluted, ran back to his car, and drove off. I will never forget that incident. That soldier, whose name I will never know, taught me more about duty, honor, and respect than 100 books or 1,000 lectures. That simple salute, that single act of honoring the fallen brother and his flag, encouraged me for my mission. It said, I will never forget. I will keep the faith. I will finish the mission. I am an American soldier. We thank God for examples like that on this Memorial Day. Examples like that can encourage us. As has already been mentioned today, we are talking about encouragement in our One Another series. We have been talking about one anothering. The Bible texts in the New Testament that talk about how we are supposed to relate to one another. It's very good and it's excellent for us to say we need to accomplish the mission, that there's a world out there that needs to hear it. But friends, if we bring the world out here, out there, in here, and we don't know how to relate to one another, we're in a bad way. Statistically speaking, they tell us that between 40 and 50% of our church is exiting the back door. And the number one reason is not theology. The number one reason is not because they've lost their faith in God. The number one reason is because of the way we treat one another. This one anothering, how we relate to each other, is important. Now, I know what some of us say. We say, oh, their skin is too thin. Can't they take it? The reality is they probably have been taking it for quite some time. And sometimes after you take it for quite some time, would sure be if you had some words of encouragement. I feel sorry for our sound booth individuals. I'm picking on them today, okay? I feel sorry for them because the only words they tend to hear from us is when things go wrong. I mean, I know some of us, we may say a few words of encouragement once in a while, but the reality is the words they hear, the words they remember is, my battery pack's not working. The words they tend to hear is, why was there ringing in my ears all during the service? The words they tend to hear are the negative things that we tend to say. I remember my dad. My dad loved to sing. In fact, when he would talk on the CB, his handle on the CB was Singing Cowboy. And so I grew up with him singing all the time. And there was a song, did I write it down? Yeah, a Dean Martin song. But the phrase that I remember him singing, I think the song is Lay Some Happiness on Me. But the phrase I remember him singing, and he would sing it often, was, Tell me I'm great, and I'll be greater. Fill me up, and I'll fly. I remember my dad singing this, and as a kid, you just kind of hear these songs. You know, he sang all kinds of songs. But as I grew up, I realized the kind of person that my dad is. His love language is words of affirmation. And so he was singing this song to his family, his wife and children, trying to give us a message of encouragement. If you give me encouragement, I can do even better. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage each other and build each other up. Some of you I know have been into sports. Some of you are runners. I told you before that I have runs. There was a period of time when I was a runner. I don't know if I should say it that way. I still do some running, but I have not entered any long-distance runs lately. But I like the part about running when it comes time to run, because there are lots of often spectators along the way. And the spectators are out there clapping and cheering and saying, You got this. You can do it. Keep going. You've made it this far. You'll hit the finish line. Keep moving. And they are speaking words of encouragement, words of hope. I when you go to a sports event, when you go to one of the arenas, the team that you are cheering for, you say those words. If you go to the baseball game, they play the organ there and they try and get you excited, and you sing for your home team. You cry out to the batter that's up there. You say their name. Those are words of encouragement. I remember the first time my dad was invited to preach at a predominantly black church. I was a kid in Oklahoma, and my dad, I mean, to me, he was the greatest preacher in the world. And he told excellent stories, and I loved to listen to him. But the one thing that I really liked about my father is that when it came 12 o'clock, he'd stop. I don't know how he did it. I mean, sometimes he would only have 10 or 15 minutes to talk, but when it came 12 o'clock, he'd try and find a way to wind it down. Now, he may go a little bit over, but I remember going to that predominantly black church with him, and when he stood up to preach, it was 11:55. And my brother and I were like, what's Dad going to do now? We know our father, and we know that he cannot only preach a 5-minute sermon. That just wasn't in him. And so it got to 12 o'clock, and we were listening, we were watching. What's Dad going to do? He kept going with his sermon. He got to 12:05, and all of a sudden somebody shouted out, Amen! And as soon as somebody said amen, another person said, preach it to us. And as soon as they said those things, my dad had a little bit more energy, and he started going a little longer. And after another couple of minutes, people were crying out, tell us what you mean. And boy, he got to going there, and they got to talking to him. And that conversation went back and forth and back and forth. And my dad managed to make it all the way to 12:30. He gave them the full message that he had prepared. because they were encouraging him. It was the words of encouragement that got him, in his words, motivated to share the gospel that he had planned on that day. Why don't we usually do this? Why don't we often share? I wrote down a couple of reasons we don't usually share. Is number one, we don't want to give people pride. We don't want to give them any reason to be proud. And so we don't speak those words of encouragement. We don't say those words of hope, those words to motivate them. Because we know what happens when a person gets proud. They turn into a Lucifer that becomes a Satan. And we don't want to help people do that. And so we are less likely to speak those words of encouragement. Second one is successful people get encouragement all the time. I mean, the reason they are successful, the reason they've gotten to the place they are, is because somebody is telling them successful things, telling them encouraging things. And so if I add on to that, then they will get proud because they are receiving it. I'm going to tell you something. Most people do not hear encouraging words. Your cashier at Walmart. Oh, yeah, you do that yourself. You get what I'm saying. Your cashier at the grocery store. That's not you. They don't hear the encouraging words. They hear when they do it wrong. But they don't often hear the encouraging words. In fact, I have gotten to the place where, you know, if I'm going to a restaurant or if I'm going to a hotel, I don't read the reviews. Now, Cheryl says I should read the reviews. She says, oh, this one says, you know, and she'll read the reviews and she'll say, oh, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. And my philosophy is the people that write reviews, why would a person write a positive review? I mean, if you're going to write a positive review, they have to have gone above and beyond my expectations. Now, if a person goes above and beyond my expectations, I might write them a positive review. But let me tell you, they slip up. And I'm deducting a star. And they slip up twice. You get my what I'm saying here? And we begin to deduct the stars. It's really easy to get stars deducted. It's really hard to get stars added. Those words of encouragement are important. Going back here, 1 Thessalonians 5, God tells us, therefore, encourage one another. What are we supposed to do? Encourage one another. Who needs encouragement the most? Ah, I like that answer. Good answer. Everybody. Look at the person on your right. Look at the person on your left. Those people need encouragement. Look at the person behind you. Those people need encouragement. We need to be encouraging one another. This is a, do I say a command from God? That we are to be encouraging to each other. Why? Because God is an encourager. God is an encourager. I want you to open your Bible there. I didn't print these things on the screen, so John chapter 14. John here. This is the part where Jesus is with his disciples after the foot washing. Starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. We often remember that one. Let not your heart be troubled. So I want you to remember in that context of let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. God says this, verse 16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another. What's your version say? If you have the New King James, he says helper. If you have the King James, it says comforter. If you have the NIV, it says, all of a sudden, I can't remember what the NIV says. Counselor. I'm going to go back here. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that he said to you. Turn the page, chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Turn the page again, chapter 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he will come and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus here promises in these verses that the Holy Spirit is going to come when Jesus goes away. Now, he's trying to give them words of hope. He's trying to give them words of affirmation that the Helper, the Comforter, is going to come. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit of Greek. Parakletos is the word for counselor, or is a word for comforter, or is a word for helper in each of these verses. Now, they translate it different ways with different versions. But as you look through Scripture, the verb form of that word, parakaleo, is mostly translated to encourage. Now, think about that for just a moment. In other places in Scripture, when that verb form of that word comes along, it's used to encourage, to encourage, to encourage. So if you go back to those verses, you can read them, an encourager is going to come. That's exactly the role of the Holy Spirit, that encourager, synonym, comforter, synonym, helper, is coming. That's what it's talking about. That's what I mean when I say God is an encourager. Jesus at this time was trying to encourage the disciples. They were afraid. They were fearful. I mean, they were so afraid there in John, few chapters previously, Jesus wouldn't go certain places. He was leaving the area of Judah and going to Galilee because he was afraid. They were afraid of what was happening there in Judah. And he was leaving that because people were trying to kill him. Jesus here is trying to comfort the disciples and say that when he is going away, someone is going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And that Holy Spirit is going to be an encourager in their life. Do you need encouragement in your life? Then you and I should be praying for the Holy Spirit in our life. We should be pleading with God to give us the Holy Spirit if we need encouragement, if we need, synonym, comforter, if we need, synonym, helper in our life. We should be asking for the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit encourages, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, says, for prophecy never came from the will of men, But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Or as the New International Version says, holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. That's trying to tell us that prophecy, words from the Bible, were given to us as a means of encouragement. If you want to be encouraged, if you are praying for the Holy Spirit and you want to be encouraged, read the Bible. God's Word is supposed to bring us hope. It's supposed to bring us encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How much of Scripture is given by inspiration? Where does that inspiration come from? God the Holy Spirit. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to carry men along so they can be inspired to write this Word. And when I say this word, I should say specifically he's talking about there, this Old Testament part. Because that's what it's referring to when Paul writes there, all Scripture. That Old Testament part is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We need to be reading God's Word if we need encouragement. Because that's one of the ways the Holy Spirit encourages us. Now, if you're questioning that, turn your Bible to Titus chapter 1. This is where Paul is writing to Titus when he tells Titus to go throughout the province there and to ordain elders or ordain pastors in the various areas there for church leadership. This is what Paul tells Titus about the pastor. He said he, that's talking about the pastor, the church elder, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. How's the leadership supposed to be using the word? As encouragement. This is supposed to encourage us. Now, lest you think that's a mistake, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is trying to encourage Timothy and his role as a leader there in the church. He says, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Be prepared when? All the time to preach the word. Correct, rebuke, and what's that next word? Encourage. That's what preaching is for. To correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The Holy Spirit seeks to encourage us with these thoughts. The Holy Spirit tells Paul to write to Timothy and to Titus and tells them the role of what God's Word is supposed to be in the life of the church. Now, in the place where Paul talks about this the most, it's in the book of Hebrews, where he talks about encouragement. Hebrews chapter 10, he talks about encouragement here. This is where he, if you want to say, waxes eloquent on encouraging. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, when COVID came, I got a little bit worried when they told us we could not meet together as a church. I mean, my fear was, what are we going to do with this verse? If the end of the world is coming and the world is telling us, don't meet together, and this verse tells me, let us not give up meeting together, who am I going to obey? We have to make a decision. Now, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't mean we have to make foolish decisions. Okay? That doesn't mean we have to come together in this building, in this church, in this place for a meeting together. That means we can be wise and we can meet together in other places, in other ways, in other forms. But I'm going to tell you, this meeting together is important. All the more as you see the day approaching. Paul says we are to meet together for what purpose? Encourage one another. Now, I am so thankful that we have the video cameras. I'm thankful that there are people that watch online, and watching people preach and listening to sermons online, it can be a boost to your soul during the week. But there's just something about Sabbath. I mean, something special about Sabbath. I mean, last year we took our 10-year-old grandson, and we went to, were we in Spain on Sabbath? What do you do on Sabbath in a foreign country? Well, according to Grandma and Grandpa, we go to church. We get the church there in Spain, and there's nobody that speaks English. Or if they speak English, it's 15, 20 words of English. And so we're sitting there, we listen to Sabbath school, and boy, do you know what? There's this wonderful thing called Google Translate, and I just turned that on, and it gave us live translation as we were going along there. I'd never had that before. I'd been to lots of other churches and never used that. Wish I had it. But I'm just going to say, even if I didn't have it, that was the place to be. I mean, there is encouragement getting together with the brothers and sisters of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, even if you don't understand anything. There's just, I don't know, just a blessing that you get, especially when you see them pull out their Sabbath school study guide. And you know, I know what they're studying. Oh, I wish I could speak their language. I would have a word or two to share. But you know that you're part of something bigger than yourself. You know that you're part of something bigger than your local church. You know that you're part of something bigger than America. There are other individuals that are out there that are worshiping on the seventh day, worshiping the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth. And your heart is just blessed by that. It is encouraged. You are strengthened by that. So I encourage you, if you go and visit other countries, even if you don't speak the language, go to church on Sabbath. We were in one country. We showed up on Sabbath, and the people out, they could speak English. And the people asked us, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "We're on vacation in this lovely paradise that you have. What are you doing here today?" "Well, it's Sabbath. This is church. It's God's holy day." When other individuals come, we hear about it after they have left the island. "What are you doing here?" "I'm here to worship with you." Oh, Cheryl was so embarrassed. They took me up and they got me on the platform. I was so blessed because sitting in the pews, the area was just packed, and it was so hot. It was stifling hot. I got up there on the platform, and they had a fan. And there was no one pressing on my side, and I could feel the air go around me. And even though there was somebody special preaching that day, oh, it was a blessing to be in church. It was a blessing to worship with other individuals. God has a special blessing for us if we will meet together. Now, it doesn't have to happen in church. I'm going to tell you, The day may come where it may be against the law to come to a church, like during COVID time or something similar, worse coming up, or who knows what. Get together in your homes. Get together with other believers in places where you can share, where you can encourage, where you can uplift one another. This is what Paul says. Let us not give up meeting together. If you read the context there, if you have your Bible open, that's great. I'll put it on the screen for you there. Verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Paul is telling us we are to grow in faith. Secondly, verse 23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. This meeting together is to remind us that we have a hope. Do we have a hope? We do. Keep going, and let us consider how we may what? Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This is to be an... I know you don't think of it that way. You may have the mentality that I have. When I think of spur, I think of these things I wear on my cowboy boots. When I, you know, when you ride the horses and things, and those spurs are you use on the horse to encourage them. Now, we don't like that kind of encouragement, do we? But that's the terminology. That's the word that's used to encourage us toward love and good deeds. That's what we're supposed to do when we come together. We are to help each other grow in their faith, grow in their knowledge of who God is, grow in their ability to trust God, grow in their hope of what God has for us, and grow in their ability to love and to perform good deeds. That's our purpose for coming together. Verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together for those reasons. Why'd you come to church today? I hope it was to get some words of encouragement so that you can be spurred a little bit. Or as we often say, so that you can have your toes stepped on. So that you can be motivated to do those things that you know that you need to be doing. So that you can be encouraged to grow in your walk with God. Paul gives us another example of this when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica. Church at Thessalonica was facing some problems. Those individuals had come out of paganism. And when they came out of paganism, they had been taught that Jesus was coming, what's the word we use? Soon. Yeah, and that Jesus was coming soon and that they were going to be caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus. But as time went on, Jesus's, or that word soon, was not what they thought soon was, and some of their membership had been dying. And they were worried about those individuals that had died and were not alive to see Jesus come in the clouds of glory. And so they were asking questions. Is this real? Paul writes to them in 1 Thessalonians. He tells them, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed. Or I like that other word that he used in a different translation. Do you know what that word is? Ignorant. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. Now you know what ignorant means. That's a person that is not informed. I don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. He's encouraging them. He tells them what's going to happen to those people who have fallen asleep. He says, according to the Lord's word. According to what? The Bible. According to what's been written.
according to the documentation that we have. There's a reason that he points back to this. The Holy Spirit has been doing something with this. You need encouragement? Read the Word. He says, according to the Lord's Word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, don't you love this picture? And so we will be with the Lord forever. Paul could have stopped there. He had given them present truth. He had given them the theology that they needed to correct their misunderstanding of what was taking place. He could have stopped there, but he didn't. What's the next word? Yeah. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Parakaleo, that verb form, to encourage. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. These are the kind of words that are supposed to bring hope. These are the kind of words that are supposed to bring encouragement. These are the kind of words that are supposed to bring motivation. These are the kind of words that are supposed to spur us on towards good deeds, love and good deeds, to action. Does it work? For some people. Does it work? Sometimes. What motivates you? Is it words of encouragement? I mean, you have this balance. What motivates people? I mean, some people are motivated by these words of encouragement, and some people are motivated by a swift kick in the pants. Well, you know, what motivates you? The carrot that they're holding in front of you, or somebody chasing you? Right? Which one's going to motivate you more? Depends on the situation. It depends on what's going on. Paul is trying to encourage us. Paul is being used by the Holy Spirit to try and encourage us, to try and motivate us, to try and get us to move in the right direction. Are we listening? Proverbs says similar things. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Keep going here. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are what? Honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. What kind of words do we need to hear? What do we need to happen in our life? Story is told about Jan Paderewski. He was having a concert. He was a concert pianist. And there was a family that wanted to go and listen to his concert because they had a young son that was about 7 years old who was learning to play the piano. And so they took him to the concert so that he could see a master at work at the piano. They didn't have the best seats, but they got there early. They were sitting, they were on an aisle, and somehow the parents got distracted and the boy got up and he made his way to the piano that was on the stage. And he went up to the piano and he sat down on the piano bench. He had done that before in practicing and things, and so he knew what a piano was for. He knew what the piano bench was for. But when he sat down there, nobody seemed to notice. So he put his hands out on the keys, and he began to play the song that he had recently learned. Chopsticks. How many of you know Chopsticks? Yeah, a few of you have taken piano lessons, huh? And the moment he starts playing Chopsticks, all of a sudden everybody that's there a little bit early, their eyes turn to the piano. They look at who's playing, and they see the young boy sitting there on the bench playing Chopsticks. And mom and dad sitting there, when they see their son, can you imagine what they feel? The pianist sees what's happening, and he sneaks up behind the boy, and he whispers in his ear, "Keep playing." And he reaches his arms around the boy, and he begins to accompany the boy as he is playing Chopsticks. Oh, I can think of a lot of ways that that could have ended differently. I can think of so many ways that could have ended differently. You think about the boy and that boy's love for music afterwards. You think about the words of hope, the words of encouragement, the words of affirmation that just spoken by the pianist, just as the boy was sitting there playing Chopsticks. The words of hope, the words of affirmation, as the pianist simply said, "Keep playing." Well, my slides disappeared. Okay, one more Bible text. Proverbs 25. At word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Who can you encourage this week? Homework assignment, okay? Who can you encourage this week? Who needs to hear the right words? Who needs to be motivated in just the right way, the words of Scripture? Who needs to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit this week? At least do it once. Twice would be better. Let's make it a good three times, okay? There's 7 days in the week. Why not just go for seven? Who can you encourage this week?